This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm very happy to be with you today, so very eager to spend this time with you, which I love doing Monday through Friday right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many wonderful affiliates and so many various kinds of platforms. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time so we can have some holy conversation together. We can talk about things that are important to you, and I love to know if you are listening on a regular basis, so do let us know that as well. Let me give you a toll-free number that you can use, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All you have to do is put those numbers in, and Matt Gubensky will answer your call. He will take your question or comment and put it up on the board for me, and I will be able to address it. You and I will be able to chit-chat together. If you're a first-time caller, please do let Matt know, and he will put that up on the board for me to know, and then I will be able to ring my welcome bell for you, which I love to do. Also, want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Excuse me. Simply use the chat feature there to put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and I'll be able to chit-chat with you about that too. Let Jeff know. Jeff Burson's our producer and social media manager. Let him know if you're a first-timer, and I will ring my bell for you as well. Sorry. As you might remember, if you were listening yesterday, I've had a little laryngitis. I'm just about over it, but every once in a while it catches me. I'm sure you can relate to that if you've ever had that kind of an issue. Going to take a little sip of water here. That should do me good for a little bit here. But do call us. Talking with you today is what my joy is all about, truly, indeed. And when you do call in with your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, my guess is that there is someone else out there who has that very same question or concern and will benefit by your, what do I want to say, your courage in calling in and sharing it with us. So, do use that phone line, 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America. We do have a number for you if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We've got lots of things to talk about today. There you go. A little rhyme for you to start our time off together. Do want to also remind you about our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of marvelous things are available for you there. We archive our television programs. I don't know if you watch us on EWTN television. I sure do hope that you do. We are on Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That program repeats at 11:30 p.m. This week, we have been talking about, I think, very important topics, one of which has to do with addiction. Beautiful ministry by Father Bonavita Cola called Full Circle, which helps young people especially move from addiction to sobriety. Those programs aired on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Yesterday was also a beautiful program on Our Blessed Mother, Mary, Icon of Trust. Part two of that program is airing today, and then tomorrow I'll have a Journeys with Jesus for you. So we invite you to get out there and watch our program, Women of Grace, right there on EWTN television. We archive those shows, so if you've missed any of those, please do benefit by going to our website and watching them there. We always feature right on the homepage what it is that is airing. We've got them archived in our library. You can access it you don't even have to go there. You can just go to television on the navigational bar. click on that and you will be able to see shows that you can watch right there. In addition to that, I want to let you know that we feature our radio programs as well. They're archived for you underneath the radio feature. Additionally, we let you know what's happening. And this weekend, I am going to be in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm very excited about it. Looking forward to being with all of you there. I know lots of you in that area listen to us via Station of the Cross. We're going to be gathering there at Mary Wood University at Nazareth Hall for a beautiful one-day event for women. All of the information is available for you by going to our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it listed under upcoming events. Click on it. It'll take you to a page that tells you about the event. You can click right there to register. A beautiful opportunity for us to come together. I understand they've got a huge crowd of women coming. So I'm hoping that there's still room for you if you haven't decided to come already. We want for you to come. It's going to be a lovely, lovely day. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about Our Lady. We're going to be talking about the call and mission that we have as women in the world today. And boy, oh boy, it's a big one. It's big. It's exciting. It's fantastic. We're going to be learning all about it as we come together there. So please do check that out. Want to remind you too about our Women of Grace. It's always our annual event that comes up once a year at Malvern Retreat House there outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And at Malvern, we gather together for a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, which precedes the event. And this year, that seminar is going to be led by Sue Brinkman. You know Sue from Wacky Wednesdays. What you may not realize is that she's a Third Order Carmelite. Now, those of you that participate in the book studies that we do through Women of Grace also know that Sue is a very competent teacher. And she is going to be conducting this beautiful enrichment seminar on the science of weakness, a journey into the life and teachings of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. So if you love the little flower, this is the perfect opportunity for you to come and to dive deeply into her teachings and deeply into her spirituality, which of course is housed underneath the Carmelite spirituality itself. But we know it as the little way, that gift of spiritual childhood that leads us to the Father. We'll be talking all about that in the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, which begins on July 20th. You can register for that at our website, womenofgrace.com. It will be followed, beginning on Friday evening, it will be followed with our Women of Grace annual retreat. The theme this year is one that I consider to be very, very important, and may I say essential to the spiritual life, and that has to do with healing the wounds of the heart. You know, you don't have to dig too deeply into the various spiritualities of the church to discover that part of those spiritualities has to do with bringing all of those aspects of our being into conformity to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the will of the Father. And so one of the ways in which we can be thwarted in that effort is through the wounds that we experience by means of our own compromise with God's will in our life by way of sin, or via the sins that are committed against us by others. God needs to heal us of those things if we're truly going to be able to receive all of the abundance that He wants us to know, all of the graces that He wants us to experience. And so this beautiful retreat is all about that. It's focusing on the process of healing the wounds of the heart, going deeper to uncover them, to lay them before the throne of God, to receive via the Holy Spirit the healing that is necessary. All of that weekend is going to encompass this reality. It's going to be a weekend of healing, restoration, and new life. So I want you to come. You can do it by going to our website and registering. We're coming right back after the break, hoping to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So happy to be with you today and so looking forward to hearing from you. The way that you can be with us is by giving us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Matt Kubensky will answer the phone there. Let him know who you are, how you're listening, where you're calling from. He'll take your question or comment and put it up on the the board. In addition to that, available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, simply use the chat feature there. Put in your name. Put in how it is that you're listening, YouTube or Facebook. Also, put in there where you're located and what your question or comment is. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and producer, will retrieve it, and he'll put it up on the board, and we can address it for you, too. We've got some callers out there already, and I'm going to go straight to the phone lines. We have Ed with us. He is in Ocean City, New Jersey. First-time caller. Ringing my first-time caller bell for you there, Ed. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, Ed O'Donnell, the Pope said confession eliminates all fear. Isn't that a beautiful comment?
It is.
Now, we've known that when you come out of the confessional, you feel better spiritually and mentally. But when I come out of that confessional, I also feel better physically. You know, it's like a swim in the ocean. But we had in Wilmington, Delaware, I think he's the most loving priest ever, Father Mario Bugliosi, St. Anthony's. And in confession, he'd give you specific solutions to every single thing you said. He really worked at it. He's like Padre Pio. But he'd always end with hope, all positive.
Well, that is beautiful, Ed. And we should always end with hope, because the sacrament of reconciliation, known as the sacrament of penance as well, and confession, you know, it is exactly a restorative gift. It's a healing gift given to us by the church. It takes care of all of those sins that we have committed, and it aids us in the healing process for the sins that have been committed against us. And we should recognize that, you know, interiorly. But there is also that beautiful, I think, psychological, emotional, spiritual, and physical recognition of the power of that sacrament. And, you know, and that's what you're referring to here.
Yeah. Now, Google me. I'm actually running in the New Hampshire primary as a pro-life Catholic third party for President of the United States. Google Ed O'Donnell.
Okay.
And to bring the Catholic message out. Thank you for your great show.
Well, thank you, Ed, and thanks for calling in today. And let me just comment on what Ed just shared with us there. You know, the fact of the matter is we need Catholics, good, strong, faithful Catholics, who bring to the forefront of our political life and our corporate life together in our culture, in our society, and in our nation, the truths and the teachings of our Holy Catholic Church. There is no reason to believe that we as Catholics need to take a back seat when it comes to making a statement in the public square about that which we believe in. We know that what we believe in not only has been given to us by way of Jesus Christ, but we also know that when we look at the documents of this nation, we see in those documents a reflection of that which is ours by way of our Catholic faith that comes to us by way of our Lord Jesus Christ through the will of the Father. We are very well aware of the fact that in the documents of the Second Vatican Council, we are encouraged to participate in the political reality of our world. And we see this emphasized again and again in the writings of St. John Paul II, brought forward by Benedict XVI into our current day and time with Pope Francis. We are not called to take a back seat. And quite frankly, the church herself has been very instrumental in healing the ills of nations, healing the ills of the world. We can look at many of the encyclicals predating John Paul II that speak to the conditions that people find themselves in a given period of time. The social doctrine of the church, let me put it this way, the authentic social doctrine of the church is marvelous, beautiful. It is a splendor to read, and it helps for us to understand how to find a balance, between the governance of a nation and the will of God. And in that balance, what do we find? We find the truth. And that truth is our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who brings balance to all things. So I'm happy Ed, that you're running. I hope that you, you know, are able to proclaim these truths with vigor, with true conviction. And I hope that your message will resound in the hearts of many individuals. I think it's outrageously important for us to evaluate every platform, or let me put it this way, every plank of a platform, according to the teachings of the church. That's what needs to guide our moral conscience. That is what needs to guide our decision in making a stand for a candidate and in voting for a candidate. It doesn't matter what that candidate says he or she is. It matters how that candidate reflects what they say they are. And that is what makes all the difference. You can say you're Catholic all day long, but unless you are living the truths of the faith, you are truly proclaiming a falsehood. And that is how it is that we determine authenticity, isn't it? Not by what one says, but by the intersection of what one says with the way in which they conduct their everyday lives. Does that mean that somebody can't sin, maybe even sin gravely? No. But as Ed pointed out, we've got the means for remedy. When we sin and we sin gravely, we don't stay in that sin. We jump out of it. We get to the sacrament of reconciliation and we begin a new path, right? We begin anew that conviction and that solidarity with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So thanks, Ed. Thank you for your call today. Just another word before we get to Kimberly here. First of all, let me give you the number so that you can join us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, toll free if you're in North America. Sacrament of Reconciliation is a healing sacrament. There is a unity between our body and soul, right? We talk about the mind and the body and the soul connection, right? That's just not language. That is truth. We read that the human person is a composite of body and soul. That is what defines us as a human person. Angels are also persons, but they're not corporeal persons. They don't have a body. Now, our personhood will remain even when our body dies. But at some point in time, when Jesus comes again, at that moment of his second coming, our bodies will rise from the dead and be rejoined to our soul. That was always God's intention. He never intended for the rupture that happened as a result of original sin. He never meant for death to enter the world. That is a consequence of original sin, which, will ultimately be reconciled completely when at the end of time, when Jesus comes again and we enter into that. Now, Jesus has already won the triumph over sin, but we, scathed by original sin, fall victim to sin. The remedy, the sacrament of reconciliation, it has an effect on us as human persons, a composite of body and soul. Let's get to Kimberly, first-time caller in Lebanon, Indiana. Good morning to you, Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly. Oops. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're very, very quiet. Can you somehow increase your volume for us?
Is that better?
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, good.
Happy to have you with us, and I'm glad you're listening via Catholic Radio Indy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
So what is your question or comment today?
I am new to the Catholic Church. I'm in the RICA, and I've been wearing a head covering, and I've been a little bit not sure if it's the right thing to do because it's definitely, I've noticed when I'm there, it seems like I'm the only one that wears one. And no one has said anything to me against wearing one, but I just wanted to be sure it was the right thing to do. I didn't want to stand out in any way or be negative in any way when I'm only wanting to be positive. So I just wanted to make sure it was okay.
Well, Kimberly, thanks for your call. And I'm so delighted that you have gone have gone through or are going through RCIA. I am so delighted that you're coming into the faith, the fullness of truth. And I'm so excited for you because so much awaits you. And I am just knowing that you are going to find a peace that surpasses understanding as you come into this fullness that God desires for you to know. As far as wearing a veil, it is perfectly all right to wear a veil to Mass. Many people veil today, many women veil. Covering the head for women was always a common part of going to church. As a matter of fact, you can look back culturally, going back, I would say even into the early 60s, and you would see that wearing a hat for women was really a sign of dressing up. Women wore hats to all important occasions, and the most important occasion of all, of course, was to church. So Catholic women and Protestant women alike covered their heads when they went to church. After the Second Vatican Council, for whatever reason, it became no longer customary for women to wear something on their head. Does that mean that it has been expunged from something that is proper to do? Certainly not. It's just that it's fell out of use lately. In many more traditional parishes, whether they celebrate the Latin form of the Mass, or whether they celebrate the Novus Ordo, many women still cover their heads. It's perfectly all right to cover your head. It's perfectly all right not to cover your head. The question that I always want to ask is, why do we cover our head? And I think that the sign of a head covering shows a certain humility of heart. It certainly shows a reverence for God. And in addition to that, it is meant to be something that helps for us to enter into the inner confines of our heart. It's a sign of our desire to be chaste before the Lord. So that is the purpose of it. We have to ask ourselves, what is my motivation for doing it, though? You mentioned calling attention to oneself and that you don't want to do that. In some cases, it can be something that causes attention to be drawn to someone. And so we have to make certain that we're not doing this out of an attitude of elitism, that we're not doing it out of an attitude of wanting, undue attention to be called to ourselves, a statement of what we think might be humility, but really is a false humility because we're not doing it for the right reason. So if you are comfortable wearing a veil, I think that there's also that. Are we comfortable? If we're comfortable wearing a veil and you want to wear it to Mass, there's certainly no problem with that.
Right.
Does that help you?
Yes, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay, Kimberly. God bless you now. Bye-bye. You know, one of the things I think that we have to be very aware of when we go to Mass on Sunday, and again, we have room to make a decision about whether we cover our head or not at this point in time and at this point in the life of the church. But one of the areas that I think we need to pay more attention to and that we should always focus on is the way in which we dress when we come to Mass. A few weeks ago, we talked about this on the air, and I received a lot of comments about it. All of them were favorable, which I was glad about, with one woman who said, I don't have any nice clothes, so should I not go to Mass? And I think that it behooves us to consider what it means to dress properly for Mass. We want to dress as best as we can. That as best as we can may vary from person to person. But by the same token, we want to wear the best that we can when we are attending Mass, because we are going before the one who is body, who is giving us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. We're going before the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we don't have to be dressed in the finest clothing by way of a price tag attached to it, but we certainly want to be dressed in clothing that is appropriate for the occasion, which means that it needs to be modest. It should be clean. It should be pressed, right? It should be clothing that is speaking to the best that we have to offer God. in that holy sacrifice of the Mass, that is what we are doing. We are offering Jesus to the Father in union with the priest on the altar, but we are also making an offering of ourselves. Remember, there's only one spotless lamb. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are meant, in imitation of him, to be as spotless as we can be. This is why it's good to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation on a frequent basis. And one of the ways in which we express this desire to be spotless before the Lord is the way in which we govern ourselves at Mass, from our attire to our demeanor. And so everything is meant to bring glory and honor to God. So we want to make certain that when we come to Mass, we are properly suited. And I mean that on multiple levels of the word, you know, multiple meanings of it. Well suited in terms of our attire, it being clean, it being appropriate, it being modest, it being pressed, it not being slovenly. We want to make sure that we have taken care of our physical being, that we are as well groomed as we can be. Okay. And I mean, this sounds like it's so basic, but I think it bears repeating, because we see people at Mass and we think, what were you thinking when you left the house? Did you look in the mirror? And obviously the answer is, if I did at all, it wasn't a very careful look, right? So we want to make sure that we're well groomed to the best of our ability. And that is meant to be a sign, if you will, of something even greater. It's meant to be a sign of our interior reality, that we certainly are as cleansed as we can be interiorly, that we're presenting ourselves before the Lord as he would have us be if it were the moment of our final judgment. That would mean that if you're in mortal sin, you want to get to the confessional. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to Mass, but you want to get to the confessional as soon as you possibly can, hopefully before Mass, but certainly as quickly thereafter as you possibly can be. So there's my lecture for the day. You can take it or leave it, but I sure hope you take it, because it's well intended. It's well intended for you. It's well intended for your spiritual well-being. And certainly it's well intended before the Lord. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call here. We're here for you. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. I'm happy to be with you today, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I would love for you to light up my life by lighting up these phone lines. You can do that by using this toll-free number if you're in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply get on out there to those locations and use the chat feature. Put into that chat feature your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, or your word of encouragement. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and our producer, will retrieve it and put it up on the board. We've got Matt Kubensky on the phones. Be sure to say howdy, hey to him. Let Matt and Jeff know if you're a first timer so I can ring my bell for you. I want to remind you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and to see everything that's coming up. I was telling you about our annual retreat at Malvern this year. July 20th is the Benedictine Enrichment Seminar. It precedes our retreat. It runs for a day and a half, starts on the 20th, ends on the afternoon of the 21st. The retreat starts the evening of the 21st, runs until Sunday, right around noon. Beautiful time that we're going to spend together at both events. Come for both, come for one, come for the other. Just come. Join us for something. On July the 22nd, which is the Saturday, we will be running concurrent with the women's event. We will be running a Young Women of Grace retreat. It's just for one day. Now, if your daughters are coming with you for the weekend, you know, we can make arrangements with you. Call us, let us know. We'll see if we can't somehow manage to fit them in to the full retreat for those times when they're not in the Young Women of Grace retreat. But I have to tell you, we do fill up. So I don't want you to wait until the last minute. Please do not wait until the last minute. Please do sign up and sign up soon. We're already June 8th. We're not talking about too much of a time difference between now and then. So please do sign up for us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Susan out there on YouTube says, Johnette, can you say a prayer for a colleague of mine? Her breast cancer has spread and she had surgery yesterday. Her name is Faye. Yes, we will pray for Faye, Susan. We'll pray for her right now. And I'm also going to tuck into this prayer a friend of my dear friend, Isabel, and her friend's ovarian cancer has returned and is spreading. So we're going to lift up both Faye and I do believe this young woman's name is Kelly. I could be wrong in that, and I cannot check it when I'm on the air. But the Lord knows if I'm wrong. The Lord knows who she is. And anyone that you have in your family who is suffering with cancer or any other kind of serious illness or serious disease, let's just tuck them all in right now. Let's just come together now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and lift up Faye and lift up Kelly. Father God, we do come before you in this moment. We lift up these two women by name. We also lift up all of those others that we are bringing into this prayer, who you know the names of, but we here on the air do not. Father God, we lift all of them up to you right at this very moment. And Father, you know with regard to all of these individuals, Faye and Kelly, all of the others that we're praying for, you know precisely where these cancers have spread, where these diseases are invading their bodies. Father, we ask now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would put a stopgap measure in place. We would just ask that you would seal off any other entrance into any other part of their bodies, that you would seal it off with the healing balm of your Holy Spirit. And I ask now that this same healing balm would penetrate into all of those areas of their bodies that have already been compromised by way of cancer or any other disease that we're bringing into this moment. Father God, I would ask now that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the radiating effect of his healing light, the fire of healing that is descending upon them now, that these diseases would be eradicated fully and would be eradicated completely. Father, I ask that these two women, Faye, Kelly, and every other person that we're praying for, Lord, would be completely restored to health. Not just restored to how they were, Lord, but I would say restored beyond where they were. That you, in your generosity, never give us back what we once had, but you give us back more than we had. Even when it seems that we're suffering a loss, Lord, we realize that that loss has been a gateway that leads to even greater graces. And we're praying that for these women. For the period of time, Father, that you are entrusting this portion of your son's cross to them, this suffering, for the portion of time that they are making up in their own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church, at this moment in time, I ask, Father God, that they would be given the grace of perseverance, the grace of faith, the grace of hope, the grace of trust, that they would find it in you, Father, that this becomes for them a way to enter ever more deeply into the love that you want them to know, the love that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we ask now that Mary, our Blessed Lady, would, through her maternal beatitude and intercession, pray on their behalf. And we turn to you, Mother, as we pray with full confidence in your maternal, grace-filled love for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. We do offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. Thanks be to God. And thank you so much, Susan, for giving us the opportunity to pray for Faye, for Kelly, for all of those that are suffering. I want to remember also, Father, and lift up to you my dear friend Kathleen, who is suffering with herniated discs right now. I ask, Father God, that you would bring a miraculous healing to her, that she would be set free from this misery, that she might continue to bring your word to your people. Amen. We have Deanna Williston out there also. She is with us in social media land, and our Deanna is a practical woman, and she's got a great suggestion. If you're concerned about veiling and bringing attention to yourself, she says, if you're worrying about such things, get a veil that's similar in color to your own hair color. Now, there is a very practical resolution to that. I love you, Deanna. That is a great suggestion. Thank you. Spoken like a true Franciscan. Yes, you are. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to go to David. David is with us here. He is, I think, a first-time caller or first-time online. He's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Going to ring my bell for you, David, anyway. And we're eager to have you. You can join David, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So, David, how are you today?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm dandy. Thank you for asking.
Yes. I enjoy your show. I was scanning on the XM radio, and I found you, and I stopped and pulled over and called in.
Well, David, I'm so glad. I hope you mark that station so that you can join us, station 130, right there on Sirius XM.
Oh, yes, it's marked.
Good, good.
The reason I called is I was wanting to comment on the lady's about the veil. I'm not a woman, of course, but I always I'm aware of the women in the parish that don't wear a veil. It seems awkward because in the Bible it says, and I'm not sure where, but I think it's I'm not going to state where because I don't know. It's in the Bible. I want to say Acts something, but women should cover their hair and head, and men should not. And a couple other rules in there about what should be done in church. And that's exactly why I go to traditional mass, because it's so traditional, it's so beautiful, and unlaxed, and very disciplined. And that's what I believe God wants us to be.
Yeah, David, thank you so very much. And I just want to clarify that you're a first-time listener, and that makes us abundantly happy. We love first-time listeners, and I'm delighted that you're with us. And yeah, thank you very much for your comments. And I totally agree with you on everything that you're saying. I think that you're underscoring something that I was suggesting earlier, and that is we need to be aware of the way in which we present ourselves at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and that is both our exterior appearance, but also our interior appearance. Part of our exterior appearance is the demeanor that we display at Mass. When you talk about reverence, we've lost this. In many of our parishes today, people come in. They're not kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, preparing for Mass. They're talking to their neighbors. They're reading the bulletin. They're shuffling around. Many of them, you know, very distracted. We know that lots of people, you know, do not silence their cell phones. We hear cell phones ringing throughout Mass. None of this is appropriate. It's not appropriate behavior. It's not appropriate action. And in addition to all of that, the reverence that we display at Mass tells us how important Mass is to us, and also says something to us about how deeply we believe in the Eucharistic presence of our Lord. We're in this time of Eucharistic revival within the church, where there's a desire to revive men's hearts with regard to the fact that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see in church that we don't believe that, or we wouldn't be allowing ourselves to be so lax in our appearance, or in our demeanor. So, you know, I call this to the attention of everyone because I think that one of the ways in which we will see a revival in the Eucharist and in the great grace that we have as Catholics is by the witness of our example. And so if a significant number of us, whether we go to the traditional Latin Mass or whether we go to the Novus Ordo, if a significant number of us begins to dress in a way that's appropriate, begin to behave in a way that's appropriate, begin to show reverence and true respect for the house of God, it can become a contagious thing. And so, you know, I think that that's what we're called to do, David.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. You hit the nail right on the head. You did good.
Well, thank you, David. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and thanks for calling. Don't be a last-time caller. This is your first time calling. Don't let it be your last. Thank you so much, David. Appreciate you. God bless you, too. I don't want to sound like I'm harping on this, but, you know, I am. I guess I am harping on this because I think it's so very important. And here's the other thing. You know, I'm a firm believer that the way in which we dress and behave is predictive about the way in which we behave outside of Mass. In other words, I remember this. Let me put it to you this way. I remember that when I was a little girl and I went to Catholic school and I dressed up in a uniform, I was very aware of the fact that I was dressed up in a uniform. That uniform meant business. That uniform meant that I was walking into the classroom and I had a job to do, and that job was to learn, right? I was attentive in class. I tried to behave in class. Now, I didn't always behave in class. My first grade teacher called me Little Miss Talking Machine. She didn't realize it was really a prophetic word that I would be talking for the rest of my life. But the fact of the matter is, you know, and I saw this, you know, also, I believe, in students as a teacher. When I taught at that time, when I was teaching, students were not dressing up for class. When I was in Catholic school, of course, we wore uniform, but the public school kids dressed up for school. I remember that the boys wore nice slacks. They wore nice shirts. The girls wore dresses. And when I taught school, students that still dressed nicely for school tended to behave differently in the classroom. And I'm afraid that what we've done here today is that we've lost all sense of decorum. And I think that there is a connection between decorum and civility, in decorum and the way in which we treat each other, the way in which we act with courtesy, the way we act with dignity and respect for ourselves and for others. We've fallen victim to a day and time now where there is no decorum. And of course, this is something that I think began to devolve in the 60s. But all of that being said, we need to regain that. We need to regain that. There is a direct correlation with the way in which we dress and the way in which we behave. If we dress appropriately, we tend to behave differently. And I think that that sign and that witness needs to be expressed today. I think it's one of the ways in which we can exert an influence, a very quiet but profound influence in the culture of the day. It troubles my heart too, because I see that many teachers in classrooms have fallen victim to this lackadaisical way of presentation. Now, I'm not saying that we have to, you know, dress in heels, although I certainly do like to wear my heels. But I am saying that, you know, we get what we project. We get what we project. That's a message that needs to be proclaimed. And I think it needs to be proclaimed to our young people. I think it needs to be proclaimed in a very special way to our young women. We get what we project. What message are we sending by the way in which we're dressing? You know? Is part of the problem for the lack of reverence that we see in church today due to the fact that we're dressing like we are you know, going to the golf course, or like we are going to a picnic, then we're going to act like we're going to the golf course or going to the picnic. But if we dress in a way that's representative of seeing the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, chances are our decorum et masse, our demeanor, the way in which we conduct ourselves, is going to be elevated. I don't know. What do you think about that? We have a couple of moments to discuss it here. I would, you know, I would love to hear. I would love to hear what you have to say. You know, and there's another aspect of that. You know, what is our call and mission? Our call and mission, the fundamental vocation, as it says to us in the writings of the church, our fundamental vocation is what? Our fundamental vocation is to be another Christ. It's to holiness of life. Holiness of life. One of my favorite passages, I proclaim it regularly here on Women of Grace Live, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Are we conforming in our dress and in our demeanor to the way of the world? And by this, I don't mean to, you know, a fashion or a style. I mean to a casualness when casualness should not be governing the moment. I think it's important for us to consider these things. I'm going to take another little sip of water. Oh, thank you for your patience with me as I go through this time of getting better. Just have to get this voice going the way it needs to go. There's a lot of things going around right now, and I think I've contracted a couple of them all at one time, but I'm feeling pretty well, and that's the important thing. Once again, not to belabor this point, but, you know, this Sunday, let's maybe remember some of this conversation and see if it doesn't affect the way in which we dress, and see if the way in which we dress doesn't affect the way in which we behave. See if it doesn't affect the way in which we are able to enter in more profoundly to the sacred mysteries that are taking place before us. What a great grace it is, you know, to be able to celebrate those divine mysteries. And I think that being readied for it, both interiorly and exteriorly, is a very, very important reality. I do have a question that came into us, and I want to go to this question. This was sent in via email, and I'm always happy to receive your emails, always happy to hear what you have to say. And a woman is calling, wrote in about her son, and she was very is concerned about her son, who was raised in the faith and seemed as if he would hold on to that faith throughout his life. But here he is at 19, making decisions that are outside of the faith and not living up to the realities of his life in Christ Jesus as mom would like him to do. And she wants to know what it is that she can do about it. And, you know, here is the thing. It's no question that we are often challenged as parents by the behaviors of our children. And it's no question that some of these behaviors can have long and lasting effects. It's no question that indeed some of the choices that our children make are very deleterious to their life in Christ Jesus and can be ultimately deleterious to their souls. But here's the fact of the matter. When our children reach a certain age, the very best thing that we can do for them is to pray for them. Not that we shouldn't be praying all along. We should be, always, and we should be praying for wisdom and guidance in our parenting. But when our children are younger, we have more authority over them in the sense of control than we do once they reach their majority. Once they hit 18 years old, our capacity to exert authority in quite the same way as we did when they were children begins to wane. And as they grow forward in their life, ultimately, they become a standalone reality. We never lose our parental right, however, nor do we lose in Christ Jesus, in the will of God, our parental authority over them. That authority has to be exerted slightly differently. We can exert it in our continuance to pray for them. We can exert it in the opportunities that present themselves for us to make a statement to them that is spoken in absolute love, but also spoken in a corrective fashion when the situation and circumstances opened up to us. What we have to try to remember and refrain from doing is to harp on them in such a way that that line of communication is broken, because then our influence over them can become severed as well. So pray for your son, my dear sister. Pray for him. Remain faithful. Pray to our Blessed Lady. Pray that novena rosary to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. It's been great being with you. Looking forward to being with you again. Sign up for our Women of Grace events because we want to be with you. Looking forward to seeing you in Scranton on Saturday. God bless you all. Bye-bye now.